Well, let's just go ahead and pray before we get started, because the Lord has something good for us today. He always does. So, Father, we just thank you right now for what you're about to do in our hearts. Father, sometimes we just give you part of us, oh God. We just kind of compartmentalize you, and we'll give you some parts of us but won't give you others, Father. Lord, I ask if anyone struggles with that, Lord, that we'd be able to, that they would be able to give it all to you, oh God. Because you are good. You are so good. You never said this life would be without troubles, but you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, though, Father. So, Lord, we thank you right now that you're touching our hearts, that you're going to speak to us, Father, in awesome ways today, that we're going to have a good time here in relationship with you, and that you've got some great things in store for us when we leave as well, Father. We don't just get a hold of you on Sunday and that's it, but you have things you want to speak to us all throughout the week, wherever we are. And there are people that we're supposed to impact in our areas of influence. So, Father, we thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, let's get our friends on Facebook here. 3, 2, 1. Hello, welcome to CLCC. Just want to welcome you to our church online. So, love to have you on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. And we're excited that you're here. We want you to, like I said, just list it in, and you're going to be affected by our sermon today, and it's going to be good. Amen. All right. It's always fun to do that, I guess. Pastor Kurt does that so well, though. It's like he was trained for that. But then again, he did do radio for a while, so that makes sense. So, you know, love Pastor Kurt. But he's downstairs helping the kids. So I'm going to talk about him today while he's down there. Did y'all like that? How you like that? I was actually going to talk about Pastor Steve, too, but he's doing some other stuff for the kingdom. So, but I can talk about him. It's a good thing. As long as I say good things about him, it's okay. Because if I talk about him and he's here in a good way, he'll be like, oh, you know how he goes. We love Pastor Steve. So anyways, when I was praying about what to speak about, the Lord just dropped a little song in my heart. And I was like, well, and it was the portion of the song he said was My Daily Bread. And I was like, My Daily Bread. I was like, I know where that's from. And they're like, oh, this is the air I breathe, My Daily Bread. I was like, so I was thinking about that. And the Lord just started expounding on it. He's like, and he was talking to me about daily bread. And do we ask for daily bread was really the question that came out from everything. Do we ask for daily bread? And some of you might think, well, I know daily bread. Some of you might know, some of you might not. I know daily bread. I know that word in Scripture because it's referring to the Lord's Prayer. And most of us grew up with the Lord's Prayer. It's in Matthew 6:11, also in Luke 11:3-2. So, I mean, I'm going to read that for you real quick. You don't have to turn there. But if you'd like to highlight that in your Bible or on your phone, that's perfectly acceptable. So, here it is, starting in verse 9, Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. This, then, is how you should pray. That's what Jesus is talking. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, Lord, do it. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we realize it's the Lord's Prayer. But he wanted me to home on the daily bread. And I was like, all right, Lord, what do you mean by that? And so I looked up in the Greek, because it's the New Testament, it has words in Greek. I looked up daily bread in Greek. Nothing special. I was looking for, hey, maybe there's a deeper meaning to this and something else that's going on with this. And I was like, all right, let me look at this. I'm going to find out what's going on. Because when I did that last time, I was talking about a few sermons ago, it changed a little bit of my perspective, didn't it? Changed a little bit of my perspective. And I was like, all right, I'm going to dig into this. And did you know that daily in Greek means the same thing as daily what we think? Daily. It's just daily. No difference. It just means daily. It means every day, happening every day, daily. I was like, okay. And so I was like, well, I looked in the Greek about bread. I was like, all right, what does bread mean? And then bread could mean a food source, or it means bread that you bake. I was like, all right, No great deeper revelation from that. I was like, oh, I can't. You know, because when you think of you want to get something, you're like, oh, man, that was a little disappointing. But it doesn't disappoint. God never disappoints. So I was like, all right, Lord, well, then what do you have for me to look into? And it says daily bread. And then it brought back to me a story that happened in my life. When I was younger, I went to Costa Rica. It was a very interesting place. So being in Central America, Costa Rica, it had a very different climate than we have here. Well, actually, not so different right now because it's warm there. It's warm here. But it rains every day. It rains every day. So around 2 o'clock every day, it rains 30 minutes to an hour, and then that's it. And then it stops, and sunshine comes out. It gets really hot and humid and all that fun stuff. But every day would do that. So I was down there on a missionary trip, and I was talking to, I was down there with a brother of ours. His name was Bobby Walker. Well, I went down with my family, with my mom and my sister, and we went down there. We were preaching the gospel, doing different things down there. But you know what? We didn't have bread daily when we were down there. You know what we had daily? Some of you are like, I don't know. We had beans and rice daily. Beans and rice. So when we got there the first day, beans and rice with some plantains. That was nice. I mean, the bananas and the plantains were a little different. That was a nice added touch. But guess what we had for the next meal? Beans and rice. Oh, man. And me at the time, I don't care too much for beans. I still don't care too much for beans. So I'm like, what is going on here? And then the next day, guess what we had? No, you're wrong. Refried beans and rice. We had refried beans and rice. And I'm like, man, this is rough. And this went on for 3 to 4 days. Now, I would tell you the spiritual reason I didn't eat was because I was fasting, but that's not the case. Let's tell you that. This will be honest. It's okay to be honest in God's house. It's okay to be honest anywhere. But I was not fasting because, oh, I want to see God move mightily. I was fasting because beans and me have never agreed with each other. So I ate a lot of rice. Let's just put that out. And some plantains that had a little fruit. But I'll tell you what. On the fifth day, we had a service at a church, and we saw some demon. I saw my first demon casted out. That was an experience. That was wild, I'll tell you that. Very different. Not like the global way, which is a very different style. But, I mean, they had this guy, 4 or 5 guys tugging on him. They had him held down. This demon was just manifesting. It was crazy. Yelling obscenities, yelling, I hate Jesus. All this stuff. But he was set free, so don't worry. It was okay. And so while we were at the church, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I can't do much more beans and rice or refried beans and rice. Help me, Lord. And guess what they served? They served something else at the church I was so thankful for. It was, I'm trying to remember what it was called exactly, but I don't remember exactly what it was called. But it was like a spaghetti. And I was like, boy, I had like 3 helpings of that spaghetti. It was the best spaghetti I've ever had. I don't know what was in it, but I was tearing that spaghetti up. I ate that spaghetti so much, and it was amazing. And then, at the story, I was like, man, this is so good. And then I saw the guy who was demon-possessed sitting down without any, no one was around him. So I was like, hey, I'm going to sit down and eat spaghetti with him. So that was interesting. So that was my story of Costa Rica. So I was like, my daily bread. It was tough, my daily bread. So we know about being fed daily, don't we? Here in America, we don't have to worry too much. Not I mean, there are some things that, you know, but we don't have to worry as much about receiving our daily bread like in other countries. But the Lord was challenging on that. I was like, well, that's good, physical bread. I got that. All right, Lord, yeah, with daily bread. But then he said, what about the spiritual bread? I was like, well, what do you mean, Father? When I was talking to him, what do you mean about spiritual bread? And then he brought me to Luke 4:4. And when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan because he was hungry, he fasted for 40 days. Wouldn't you be hungry too? I felt like 40 days down in Costa Rica, I can tell you right there, I was really hungry. And in Luke 4:4, Jesus replied, "Man shall not live on bread alone." And I was like, well, maybe there's more to this than I thought. And the Lord started talking to me about, what about your spiritual bread? What about your substance that makes you grow spiritually? We know that regular bread, you know, enhances our body and things like that, and we eat food, we have that source. But what about our spiritual bodies? And I thought about that. I was like, Lord, okay. So spiritual bread would be something like reading your Bible. That's good because it's the source. It's good stuff. What about worshiping God with praise and worship? That's bread. That's feeding your spirit, getting him stronger. What about listening to God? That can be tough. I know that's a tough one for me because I'm always on the go doing something, or I've got something distracting me. I have 4 kids. That's a lot of distractions. It's a lot of distractions. I love my kids, but they can be quite distracting. Sometimes it's hard for me to get to a place where I'm like, all right, God, I'm just going to listen to you and just receive from you. He can speak to you whenever he wants, but there is a sweetness when you set time aside and say, God, I just want to listen to you, what you have for me to say. And sometimes he talks to you aloud. Sometimes he talks to you in your spirit, using the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he'll talk to you in reading your Bible. Sometimes he'll even have a friend give you a call and have them tell you about what he's telling you. Lots of different ways. Praying in tongues or praying in English, great way. Great way to continue to build your spirit man. Talking to God. Now that's an interesting one. How many of y'all talk to God? Just throughout the day. Yeah, just talk to him. Hey God, what's going on? You know? Talking to God. Having a conversation. And then practicing his presence. Now that can be a difficult one. I love what Pastor Kurt talked about James earlier. That story he talked about his friend James. That man was practicing his presence. And what I mean by that was that doesn't matter what's happening around him, he knows the presence of the Lord is in him and within him and walking with him. And that's the reason why nothing else can shake him up. We learned a lot of that when Dan Moeller was here. We talked about not letting circumstances dictate our identity. We've been talking through the Ray Light series a while back about that, not letting things overcome us, but working through those things that are going inside of us and realizing we are a son and daughter of God, which is the grandest of things that we can be. But practicing his presence is an outward expression of that, where we can be like, hey, I'm secure in who he is in me, and there's nothing I have to worry about. It's such an awesome thing when you're like, the whole world can be going crazy. But then when you have that peace that passes all understanding, when you know that God's going to take care of you, it may not always be roses and lilies and, you know, fairies dancing and rainbows and unicorns, as my daughter would love to hear. You know, it may not be all that. He didn't promise us no troubles or trials or tribulations. He promised that he would always be with us. And that's amazing. So all those things that I just talked about are relationship with him. All those things are spiritual bread. Now I'm going to go one step further. Are you ready for some challenge? Are you ready for some challenge today, church? I feel like God doesn't just want to meet us. He wants to challenge us as well. Because, hey, we call ourselves Christians, right? Don't we? Christian means little Christs or Christ-like. So when people look at us, they should see Jesus. Amen? Is that that's what we're going for, isn't it? That's what we're going for. So the question that goes deeper is, when we do these things, when we do these spiritual bread things, reading our Bible, listening, talking with God, practicing His presence, it's going to happen. Two things are going to happen. It's either one or the other. Either we're going to know about God more with doing these things, or we're going to become more like Him. Now, the Pharisees were very good at knowing about God. Boy, they did a lot of stuff. They prayed in their temples. They memorized the Torah, which was the first five books of the Old Testament, which is what they had at that time. They memorized everything like crazy. They did all these different sacrifices, did all these things. And it was, they knew. They knew about God very well. But yet, because they didn't become like God. And I'm not saying we're trying to become God Himself. No, I'm just saying we're becoming like Jesus. Because they didn't have that relationship, they missed Jesus completely. If we're so worried in knowing about God, knowing about Jesus, we can miss Him entirely. And then we won't have daily bread at all. Our daily bread will just be a religious thing, a traditional thing. That's all it will be then. It'll only just be religious and traditional. There won't be any life in it. And where there is no life, that means there's something dead. And when something is dead, it stinks, doesn't it? Why do you think we have so many Christians that walk around dead? Because they know about God, but are not becoming like God, not becoming like Jesus and going after Him. And I think it's very interesting because I heard this one time and I totally agree with it. And this is something I want to do in my life. The older I get, the more I should look like Jesus. So when you're older, and I'm not trying to put any blame or shame on anyone or anything like that. I'm not trying to say anything like that. But the people that should be most like Jesus are the elderly, because they've had the longest time to enjoy His presence and to be fruitful, to really have a good time. Now, I'm not saying you can't experience Jesus at a young age. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that when you've spent all this time with Jesus, you should be producing life. And it's amazing. But some people get so sidetracked along the way, and certain things die, and you see some bitter old people. And I'm like, man, Lord, they're letting things happen when they can have such a sweet relationship with You. Now, that's for any age, of course. But the people that have been longest on the vine, longest being with Jesus, should have an awesome relationship with Him. And I want to encourage you. That's not a mean saying. I'm not saying, hey, you know, get your life right, you know, old people, let's go. I'm not saying that. Come on. What I'm saying is to encourage you. You've spent how many years with Christ? This is a golden moment. And not just for the elderly, but also for those that have maybe been Christians for longer than 5 to 10 years. We should be very sweet as well, because we've been spending time with Him. But if we have something that's producing death in our lives, we're not going to be sweet. We're not going to be those Jameses that Pastor Kurt was talking about. There's something different about them. We're just going to be just like everybody else, panicking, going through the motions. It's religion, tradition, no relationship, not becoming like Him at all. Not giving words of affirmation, not becoming a vessel that He can use, where He knows that He can send somebody your way and know that they're going to be taken care of. Our daily bread. When we have our daily bread, when we have that relationship with Him, are we becoming like Him? Are we just knowing about Him? And that's something only you can answer. But I'll tell you something. The people around you can answer it. They can answer it. They can see it. Your spouse, I guarantee you, will tell you, or a significant other will tell you if something's going on. They can tell. Your family will be able to tell. I promise you that. Mom, you're not as, you used to get more upset about these things. You don't get upset about these things anymore. Honey, I knew that something like that would normally, you'd be storming off and that'd be it. But you took that really well. What's changing? There's a difference. So I want to encourage you today. This is not saying, hey, you need to get it right and I'm here to slam you and give you condemnation and you're doing it all wrong. Get right. Not saying that. Please, if that's what you heard today, I am so sorry. That is not my heart. That is not what I intended to say at all. What I'm saying is get to know Him. Daily bread, spiritual bread. Become like Him. Don't settle for just knowing a lot of facts or being able to quote scripture. Live empowered for Him. Because an empowered life is a life worth living. Let's all just, if Stacy, if you want to come up. I want to give everyone an opportunity just to be able to respond to it in your own way. And while Stacy's going to play this song, I just want you in your hearts to say, God, am I doing these things just to know about you, or am I doing these things to become like you? Because if I become like you, Father, that means I can change the world. I can change the area of influence you've given me. But if it's just to know about you, even the demons know about them. Even Satan knows about them. That's nothing special. And then you're just caught in religion and tradition. That's it. And religion and tradition gives way to sin. And doesn't help anybody. So while Stacy's going to sing and play this song, I just want you to talk to Jesus. Just talk to Him. Say, Lord, maybe I haven't been living the way I need to. Maybe I haven't been wanting to know you as much as I want to. And I haven't definitely been trying to become more like you. Help me to do these things. And not in a religious way, but help me to enjoy your presence, to love you, to cherish you. Show me what I can do. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Stacy. Thank you, Father. Lord, we want to become more like you, Father. Otherwise, what are we doing? What are we doing, Father? Why even try to live this life if we're not trying to become more like you? We might as well be cold, because you say, Father, in your word, you'd rather us be hot or cold, for if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Father, I thank you, Jesus. I can't speak for everyone else, but I pray that they join me in wanting to become more like you. That my area of influence, that my circle of friends, I would be a light, I would be a witness, but I would be empowered to move on your behalf at any given moment, whenever and however. Because that's a fun life, Lord. That's amazing to see you work. It's amazing to be used by you, and it's so grateful. I'm so thankful for that. I pray that this church, Father, this body of believers would join me, and let's become more like you, Father. Have that relationship. Have that love. That is amazing. I thank you, Father, for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And there's someone here, I don't know who you are, but the Lord's just telling me that you're saying to yourself, well, I'm not enough. I could never be good enough. I could never be enough. I could never repay. What good am I? And maybe because of your situation, some things have happened. And you've been told these things, or these things have become lies in your spirit. But let me tell you what the Lord says to you today. He says, I am enough. Come to me, I am enough. Father, I thank you for your words to these individuals, or this individual, whoever it is. I thank you that you are enough. If we would bring with just what we have, no matter what's going on, that you are enough to do great things in us, to us, and through us, O Father. We believe your truth today, that there is nothing else our identity needs to be steadfast to, or be grounded or foundational, then we are a son and daughter of the King, and you love us immensely. So much that you died a horrifying death, that you gave your life for us. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to dismiss at this time. If you would like prayer over something, or something's been going on in your life, or anything I can pray for you about, I'll stay up here for a little bit. But you're released to go. I just want to challenge you today. Be the light in the darkness. Be that James in your area of influence. Be that sweet person that reminds your friends of Jesus. Amen. Blessings to everyone.